Hello, I'm Bruce Lipton.
And I'm Steve Behrman.
We'd like to welcome you to our conversation on our new work called Spontaneous Evolution. To give you a little background as to why this work came about, I'd like to first refer to my earlier book called The Biology of Belief. In that particular book, the emphasis was on the nature of how our beliefs, our attitudes, and our emotions control our physiology, our biology, and actually regulate our gene expression. While the book was more or less focused on the nature of how our personal beliefs affect our personal reality, there was something more profound in this understanding. And that new understanding is that it's not just personal beliefs that affect our biology, but the collective beliefs of a culture or society also affect our biology. So while on a personal level we affect ourselves, on a cultural or social level, the beliefs of the community affect everyone in it. And what we're beginning to recognize now is the beliefs that we've been operating on for the last number of years are actually detrimental because, as we are beginning to realize, our world is in a very serious and precarious position. That the beliefs that we are operating from are actually life-threatening beliefs. And so consequently, I thought it was a good time for us to bring out the new biology, not at the personal level, but at the larger social community civilization level, to talk about how the new beliefs that are coming into the world of science will offer us a way out of the threatening situations that we find ourselves in now. In bringing this work to you, I'm emphasizing the nature of the biology and the work that tells how our beliefs influence our genes and our behavior. However, to really fully understand the nature of this, I have to introduce my friend Steve Behrman, a friend of mine who offers a lot more information in regard to the nature of our social structure, our politics and economy, and how this also ties into our biology. So, Steve, perhaps you could give us an insight how you're contributing to this work on spontaneous evolution.
Well, first of all, for the past 20 years or so, I've been doing comedy. I've been disguised as Swami Beyondananda, the cosmic comic. And, of course, comedy is a wonderful way to tell the truth. It's a friendly way to get new information in under the radar. But prior to that, my first incarnation, my background, is in political science, which of course may sound like an oxymoron to some people, but actually I was very much involved with politics. I came of age during the 60s. I was involved in starting an alternative high school in Washington, D.C. I was very excited about all of the changes that were taking place at that time. But one of the things I noticed is that politics alone was not enough to make changes. And I'll give you an example. In my tenure in Washington, D.C., I met this guy who was a world-renowned expert on communal living. But unfortunately, nobody could stand to live with him. So I started noticing that there were tremendous disconnects between the things that we believed and the things that we actually acted out in reality. And that took me on a journey of 25 years or so, involving myself in psychology, in personal growth movement, in various forms of meditation, spirituality, and so on. Over the past 7 years, I've had the itch to reintegrate some of these ideas because the time is right. We're seeing that there's a sense of integration that has to take place at this point. And so I had this idea for doing a book called Healing the Body Politic, and I was casting about over time for who would I want to do this book with, and I thought of, you know, some holistic physician and so on. But then after I met Bruce, about 8 or 9 months after we met, I went, wait a minute, I bet you that would be a project to work with Bruce on. And our initial title for the book was The American Evolution, because Bruce and I share a great admiration and respect for the ideas and energies that founding fathers of America were bringing in 230 years ago. Since Bruce does teach overseas, we began to realize that maybe the American evolution idea would limit us and that we needed to expand this to a worldwide conversation.
Well, the understanding about the American evolution was very important because the ideas founded by the founding fathers of the United States are actually not ideas generally restricted to the United States, but even in their own beliefs, the ideas they were offering were for the entire world. But as you mentioned, Steve, as soon as we put American evolution in the title, then we sort of have localized it to an American story, and this is a global story. So we ultimately decided that that would not be the way to go. However, from a biological point of view, we were looking at the world as the situation that it was in, the dire situation, where we're really coming to a point to recognize that we're in a critical phase of human civilization, that our survival is really in question. This brought me to an understanding that I'm very familiar with in the medical world, where we have a patient who is declared terminal, and everyone around thinks that this person is dead and gone already and count them out. And then something happens to this individual. And really what happens is that they essentially have a fundamental and really profound change in personal belief. And through this change in belief, they express what is called a spontaneous remission. So there they are one moment a terminal patient and the next moment totally free of disease, which is a shock to most medical people in this regard, but it has been reported quite frequently and is understood by most people to exist. Well, why we thought about that as a title, the concept of a spontaneous remission, is because we believe that once this new information offers the public an opportunity to change their beliefs about the way life is, that the introduction of this new information, like the introduction of the new beliefs in that terminal patient, would lead to a healing, because the planet and its people are a living system just as much as the cells in a human body are a living system. So both are really capable of expressing a spontaneous remission. We came up with the title of Spontaneous Evolution. And the significance about spontaneous evolution is that the new insights into evolutionary theory actually counter the beliefs that we've been programmed with in a Darwinian sense. Because in our Darwinian theory of evolution, evolution is a very slow and gradual process of change that over millions and millions of years, ultimately one organism evolves into another organism. However, based on the work of Stephen Jay Gould and Niles Eldridge, there's a new insight into the nature of evolution. In fact, they refer to their evolution theory as punctuated equilibrium. What they recognized when they revealed the history of evolution was that evolution consisted of long periods of stasis, and then all of a sudden there's a dramatic upheaval, a profound change that they refer to as a punctuation that leads to a whole new class of evolution, a whole new form of life evolves from this point. So this is really what this world is looking for. We don't have a lot of time to have a slow, gradual evolution. And so it's interesting that in the nature of the real case of evolution, that the evolution of civilization can go from a present state of disorganization and disintegration, and in a moment of spontaneous awareness, a change in awareness, civilization can express what it would be a spontaneous evolution. So it's very important to recognize that what we're talking about does not require millennia to work itself out, that what we're talking about are changes that we as a population may actually envision within the next few years.
Well, it's great that we're considering this punctuated evolution, because many people are going, is it a question mark? Is it an exclamation point? Or sadly, is it a period? I think that whether people know about science or not, whether they're aware of any of these things or not, there is generally a feeling that there's something happening. People have been exposed, of course, to the whole concept of peak oil, to climate change, to population explosion. The doomsday clock keeps moving closer to the midnight hour when it's going to be more than love that comes tumbling down. Religious people are talking about the end times. What seems to be happening is that people are beginning to realize that we are connected. And certainly the most obvious physical demonstration of our connectedness is the internet. Because now, as opposed to 25 years ago, we can send a message and receive a message all the way around the world at the speed of light, essentially. And all of a sudden, there's instantaneous communication and awareness that ties this entire global village together. So science is providing us now, as a foundation, with an understanding that this is all entangled. Everything is entangled, everything is related, even if we don't yet have the belief system that's going to encompass that. So science is climbing the proverbial mountain of knowledge, and Buddha is sitting on top. We're finding that science and what the great spiritual teachers have been telling us over millennia are similar. And that's basically that this is a world of relationship. Nobody can get off the bus. We're all in this together. We are all one with the same one. The universe has us surrounded. Might as well surrender. Of course, along with this awesome understanding, we have to have the realization that the old ways of seeing and believing, and these are the ones that have helped create the very situations that we find ourselves in now, this situation cannot be alleviated by using the same reasoning, the same ideas, and the same beliefs that created them. To paraphrase Einstein, a problem cannot be solved at the same level it was created. These old beliefs cannot help us through this new evolutionary phase where essentially our survival is at stake.